We'll let you take the Heroes beta though.
Okay, yeah. Has anybody else actually gotten to play in the Heroes of the Storm yet?
I haven't, and
No.
I've seen stuff on Machinima about it and just some other updates, but
Cool. Okay, so for those who have not ever heard of Heroes of the Storm, it is the brand new Blizzard multiplayer online battle arena. It's based off of Dota 2, Defense of the Ancients 2, that is, and also League of Legends. It is a much more casual and accessible version of the game, and I would just like to say I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I've probably put my quick credentials here. I've been playing Dota since Warcraft 3 came out,
okay.
and I probably put 200 plus hours into both Dota 2 and League of Legends. So my first impressions, I really like it a lot.
That's good. It's a good fit to move back into something like that.
Yeah, and so really quick, finish my explanation of what it is, though. It's essentially the Smash Brothers of the Blizzard universe. It's a mashup of all of their properties. It's got StarCraft, Warcraft, Diablo, and also randomly Lost Vikings. And you pick a champion. It's 5 versus 5 across 3 lanes on a standard map. And actually, they have several maps, which is quite enjoyable. They have more objectives. The thing I like about it the most is the accessibility. You don't have to worry about toxic team chat, barely at all. Chat is completely disableable if you want. I've played 5 games with no one speaking to me, and it's been
I
glorious.
bet.
Does the
Also,
teamwork work when you don't have chat?
well, here's the thing. They have simplified a lot of the team play too. No denies, no killing blows even. All gold is shared. Even when you get a hero kill, the gold is split evenly between your whole team. When you
Okay.
die, you don't lose experience. It's just it's built. No, there is no like this guy is our carry. It's you all have roles and you're automatically assigned to a team that has roles that will fit the jigsaw properly. And then beyond that, you don't need to do a ton of teamwork beyond like when certain triggers go like, okay, now the mine has opened and a boss has spawned, and if you whoever whichever team kills the boss, it will then cross the field once for you and
Okay.
fight for you. So I'm really, really, really enjoying it. I'm a giant Blizzard fanboy, I'm not gonna lie, so that has something to do with it, I'm sure. I love being able to shoot Diablo in the face as Reyner. It's just great. But that all of that aside, it's free to play. My biggest issue with it is the monetization system. So it's completely free to play. However, champions can be either bought or paid for, and sorry, bought or paid for with in-game currency. And same goes for some, but not all skins. Some
Okay.
skins do require payment only, which is I'm fine with that. That's essentially that is the League of Legends model. Here's where it starts to get iffy. The only way to earn in-game currency is to follow a system identical to the one they use in Hearthstone, which is daily quests, which is the worst system for monetization. I hate it. I hate it more than anything. Because here's the thing, you get one quest a day. One quest a day. It's a random quest. The amount of gold it gives is variable. And you can get quests for things you can't do. The first quest I got, my first daily quest, first day I played, was win 3 matches as a StarCraft 2 character. Didn't have any StarCraft 2 characters
Oh.
unlocked. Second thing I got was win 5 matches as a specialist. Don't have any specialist characters unlocked, and there's none on the free rotation this week.
That happened in Destiny. They would give you quests of game types and multiplayer that weren't actually available that
Right?
week.
It's given me flashbacks to World of Warcraft when you'd run 40-man raids and they would drop gear for unique to the class that your faction couldn't even play as. I mean, it's just it's very frustrating and short-sighted, but
Yeah.
beyond that, I'm enjoying it quite a bit. As a casual, like it's 20-minute matches, like it's just it's the exact everything I hate about League is addressed to some degree here.
Okay.
My only beef with it is that I wish almost that it was slightly more complicated, maybe a little more
Well,
challenging,
that's what
because
I was going to say, is a lot of people had an issue with League of Legends, just mainly based off what you said, but they also said that it was like not hard to get into, but
that's a whole kind of. Have you guys?
yeah,
Okay, so
and
I
I don't know
guess
if we want to break
heroes
open that can of
aside,
worms,
well,
but
heroes aside, has anyone else here seriously played any MOBAs?
I played League for a summer, but I just lost interest in it.
Seriously played though, would you say based on having played that
I'd say
long,
I
would you
played with
consider
friends a
yourself
couple times a week at night, but
would
that
you
was about
consider
it.
yourself
No.
above average?
No.
Okay, yeah, that's to be clear, just so everyone knows, I played, League for over a year before I considered myself average.
Yeah.
Like it is an extremely difficult game with an insane learning curve. there is a lot of fanboyism going on in the MOBA community. There is everyone thinks that the other ones are just the worst thing in the universe. And this goes back all the way to things like Heroes of New Earth and other MOBAs before the big MOBA boom after League of Legends came out. I think that the issue is that it's the, again, I brought this up earlier, it's the sunk cost fallacy. It's, I have put 150 hours plus, I mean, thousands of hours for a lot of people into learning all the ins and outs of League of Legends. I know every hero. I know all their counter picks. I know I have all my rune pages filled out and I paid money. I have every hero unlocked. And then Dota 2 comes out, let's say, and it's got all the heroes unlocked from the start and it's slightly more complicated gameplay. Does that make it harder? I don't know. I don't think you can really say it like that because they're different games and they are similar enough and yet different enough that they're not, it's hard to compare them. They're not better or worse than each other. They're just different.
They've each got $1 million tournaments on the line.
Exactly. We are talking about League of Legends and Dota 2 and Heroes are all in the top five largest payouts for esports pros.
I was going to say, it's good on them for Heroes to combine all of those different types of characters from like different backgrounds of stories because that alone is going to keep the game going for probably another couple of years past what it would have just being the success it already is.
Well, and having that nostalgia factor as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I have a buddy who I ran into, you know, I have a big open porch that I share with all my neighbors at home, and I have a buddy I ran into who he's not a gamer. Every time I try to talk to him about games, he kind of gives me the duck or he'll nod along, but then when I ask him if he, you know, ask him a question about it, he has no idea what I was saying. I was telling him about Heroes of the Storm and talking about the podcast with him, and he said, you know, oh, it's got Blizzard characters. Well, you know, nobody I would know. And I said, well, have you played The Lost Vikings? And he lost it. He was so excited. He's going to download it later this week.
Good,
so, you know, I think that there's a big draw with those. It's kind of the Nintendo trick. It's, like I said before, it's the Smash Bros. Maneuver.
Yeah, and again, that's why they'll keep it going for so long is because you still pull out your Smash Bros. Anytime you get a chance to play that. I'm sure if you guys have a console to play it on, it's one of the games that you want to bring out when you have people over.
And I would say Heroes is much more friendly to having a group of friends on laptops playing it. I'd say it has probably lower system requirements, though don't quote me on that. But it certainly has, it's the most accessible. I could, right now, the five of us could install it and play together without any instruction beyond me, you know, saying, use talents instead of items.
Okay.
And that's another thing they did. So they completely removed the item system, and instead you have talents as you level up. I think it's every other level you get one, and you can choose from between 2 and 4 talents at every level tier, and those all customize how your abilities function, which I think is great. In fact, I would go so far as to say that it is more customized than the 6-item system featured in League of Legends and Dota 2.
All right. Any final thoughts there?
Even if you're not a big MOBA player, I do recommend checking out some of their esports stuff. Like, I've watched the International. I've watched some of the stuff on Twitch. They have really good commentators, and they're going to say words that you don't understand, but you will. You'll get sort of the team play aspect that's going on, and it is entertaining.
Well, they have a noob-friendly stream that is separate from the professional stream. If you're new to the game, make sure you click that because you will be overwhelmed. Like, really,
Seeing the skill with which they play and how intense it gets and how into it even the spectators get, it's pretty cool to see that it's growing like that.
Last thing on this, I just wanted to throw it out there for any sports fans who might be listening. If you don't know what the International 2 is, it's aired on ESPN. It's the biggest Dota 2 tournament in the world. Mm-hmm. And if you do like things like the Sweet 16, I highly recommend checking it out. They sell in-game compendiums that go towards the prize pool for the game, and the compendiums have really fun gambling-type betting systems where you can win in-game currency for betting on things, successfully guessing things like MVP, most picked champion, most banned champion, etc. And so if you like that kind of stuff for Sweet 16, make sure you get in on the pool for Dota 2. The International is huge. Last year, I believe it was well over a $10 million grand prize. Oh, so watch it. It's interesting.
So real quick here with Grand Theft Auto, who plays online? I know Max does.
Yep.
Henry,
I do.
We all play. So Henry, I guess, touch on the mod viruses and what's going on there.
Okay, so it's just come out. I was just reading on Kotaku earlier today that they have discovered one of the most popular mods out there for GTA 5, which is called, I think, it's Angry Planes.
Yep.
which basically just added in planes that would shoot at you, has been caught as having malware. It's actually Keylogger specifically built into it. And so I just wanted to really quick give you guys my, as somebody who mods a lot, just a couple tips for when you're using mods.
For sure.
So first things first, it's really, really important that you know that when you're modding your system with a third-party mod, you're taking responsibility for any damage or corruption to files. So be aware, you know, always back up your saves. Always make sure that you have the installation disks in case you corrupt your installation, or if it's digital download, that you have, you know, the time that it'll take to re-download the files, whatever it may take. So keep that stuff in mind, because it is a process. You are doing something much more involved than simply updating the game. Also, remember that you're always downloading at your own risk. These are not moderated. You know, this is one of the downsides to not having a paid mod system, is there's no moderation. Now, I would like to just...
mod does not stand for moderated.
Yeah, very funny.
No, I was going to go with that.
Just as a side note, though, do not read this as a defense of Bethesda's attempt to monetize their mods, because they had no intention of moderating their system. Mm-hmm. So that is irrelevant. But that is one benefit to a moderated system. I recommend using really trustworthy sites. A good example for if you were doing Bethesda mods would be the TES Nexus. So they're an established, well-known website that's been distributing mods for a decade. Lastly, always make sure you read as many comments on the mod page as you can. Go to the forum that's dedicated to it. Read what people are saying. See if they're having common bugs, if they're losing saves, if they have to start a new game. Because some mods will require you to start a new save and stuff like that.
So, and a lot aren't compatible with others.
Exactly. Yeah. So make sure you're reading thoroughly. And then lastly, whenever you download any third-party software, and this is just me speaking as an IT employee, make sure that you scan your files. Please, guys, if you don't trust the unless you see something that's certified by something like Microsoft, you... just right-click on it, and you'll have an option that says scan with whatever your antivirus software is. Almost all software has it built right into the right-click function. So just make sure you're being responsible when you're modding. Make sure you're thinking before you just start clicking. And I know you saw that guy on YouTube do it, and it looked so fun, and you want to show your friends, but just exercise restraint, please, because I've put hundreds of hours into modding, and so many times I'll rush one step and have to start from scratch.
So does that work for all types of files that might carry viruses?
Yes, you can. Well, sometimes it depends on how up-to-date your antivirus software is. Sometimes encrypted or compressed files can cause complications. But yes, generally you can scan any file.
Okay.
And real quick here, with Rockstar suing BBC, BBC is making a documentary about the history of the creation of Grand Theft Auto games. Actually sounds kind of interesting, but features the CEO of Rockstar and Jack Thompson.
I think any movie with Daniel Radcliffe lead role does not sound terribly interesting
to me.
Well,
I mean, see, like,
I think that's fair.
For me, I think he can bring it around. I just don't know that the direction the BBC wants to take it is
right
for him.
That's my concern. My big concern is the second that I hear Jack Thompson. If Jack Thompson is going to be in this movie, the only context I want to see him is him being just vilified for his views. Because, you know, no matter how BBC tries to spin the story, all this is going to do is bring back up the era of hot coffee and violence in games. It's going to be GTA is demeaning to women and is violent and makes kids violent and this and that.
Oh,
this
and was too bad for you.
This was probably the smoothest Grand Theft Auto release ever.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about it, I think it only got banned in, like, Target in Australia and maybe one or two other places.
Good old Australia.
Damn it, Target. But
beyond that, though,
go ahead, sorry.
There used to be massive controversy about the violence in these things, and Jack Thompson has been pretty definitively shown to be just a jerk trying to make a quick buck, trying to get attention. I mean, pathetic.
Yeah, I should qualify this. I'm interested in the creation of Grand Theft Auto games because I think they've always kind of been generation defining. I'm not as interested in Jack Thompson.
And, well, and let's be honest, if those are the two protagonists, or maybe the two leads, it's not about the development of Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah,
it's about the history of the social impact of
and
Grand
the drama
Theft Auto.
And all that stuff.
It's something that should be addressed, but it needs to be addressed by right people. And some people are black and white. You need, you know, multiple people so you get some gray area.
Well, and Jack Thompson has been definitively refuted. I mean, every single study, if you look at any recent study on the effect of violence in video games and does it cause you to be more violent, the answer is a resounding no. And in some cases, the studies show that it reduces violent tendencies. So they do not want this cultural conversation starting again that's based off of conventional wisdom of, well, you're doing violent things, so it must make you violent.
I remember when those stories were coming out, like when Call of Duty was coming out, like it was supposed to make kids pick up a gun and just be shooting people.
Look at that born and bred killer right
there. You can tell just from across the table that I picked the correct distance to be away from him. I don't want to be in harm's way. And that's the thing, is it's like you have to take a look at the majority of the people that are going into a game like Grand Theft Auto. We're not going into it for the mindless violence. That's like a side effect of the game.
It's the competition. Yeah. Just a quick question. If you had to choose between power fantasy, playing for the story, or like the online play, why do each of you play Grand Theft Auto? I'm a story man.
I'm a story man myself as well.
See, I like stories, but I actually like the online play better.
Okay. Tom is big on the online.
I like both.
Yeah, okay. I love online.
The stories for sure. Online doesn't do it for me as much just because it feels kind of broken. I don't know what everyone else's experiences have been, but the matchmaking. Oh, yeah.
Sure, and just really quick before we jump to that, I just wanted to mention that's the thing the media never, ever, ever, ever highlights. I've never seen the news report that talks about how we love it because they're often gritty, down-to-earth stories dealing with minorities in a system that works against them. San Andreas is my favorite by far.
Yeah.
The one where you play as a black protagonist and you're coming out of the hood and there's gentrification discussions and there's, you know, betrayal and just intrigue. And it's great. It's so much fun. The story is wonderful. And, you know, 4, which a lot of people consider one of the weaker entries, the reason for it is because the story was garbage.
Yeah, oh, it was absolutely a sweet background.
Depressing and terrible.
Yeah. The background was terrific.
It'd just be fun online.
Change the story.
And, you know, that social commentary and the satire is always top-notch with the
writers
there.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
I mean, even look at Red Dead had it in it, and that was a completely different genre and setting.
No, but the interactions, and I'll say this about the story, having 3 characters was huge.
Yes.
Because it was really funny hearing the interaction, especially Trevor, just kind of this
wild card. I'm glad you touched on that.
There's something to be said for transitioning between characters and then zooming in on Trevor naked punching
or dumping bodies out of a boat or urinating on the police.
Or just waking up drunk in his underwear.
Yep. Yeah. Or coming out of the morgue. One coming out of the morgue is so bad.
That game is excellent, and the story is the main reason why. Now people are finding a second life in it in the multiplayer, but let's remember, multiplayer was not working for a year and a half.
Yeah, I'll qualify that statement. I like it when it works, and we've played it while it works, but it happened with Heist. It happened when it first launched. It happens a lot.
I just feel like I spend most of my time when I play online in waiting rooms hoping that people are finally going
to
get put in.
And that they need to correct. I mean, that is a major fault where you want to have a 16-person race, which are crazy. I mean, it's insane. But you're only going to get it if you kind of lobby or get into a lobby like that. It's hard to create.
If you have luck. Yeah, right. Absolutely. I spend most of my time in GTA Online getting bombarded by other players. And so, like, even now that it's died down a little bit and, you know, some of those things that people like letting you get into matches and whatnot, I like the free roam of single player a lot better, especially with being able to put cheats in.
So
it just adds that, like, extra limit to it.
Not to spoil it for you guys, but we probably have an entire podcast worth of GTA 5 online discussion.
Yes.
Why don't we save that? Because I just wanted, if you guys don't mind, I just want to bring it back to the actual...
The suing of...
Yes. I understand that there's a great story there, and BBC is totally within their rights to want to make a documentary. However, I think that GTA, you know, Rockstar, they're rightfully nervous about mainstream media wanting to do any level of portrayal about them relating to social issues. And if I was in their shoes, I would also be suing them.
Now, I feel like from their aspect, though, they have to have a PR team that understands how to correctly, like, portray their message. Like, if they fundamentally are worried about a mainstream media source coming in and talking about the game, it means that they've done something wrong on their PR side of it. Because there is something to be said.
Well, the fact that the BBC didn't even approach them to attempt to get them to work with them. But Rockstar said they would have been willing to work with them.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
You're coming at that backwards.
No. I guess I'm trying to highlight that point. There's a difference between BBC going to Rockstar and say, hey, we want to do a documentary, and them saying no.
Right.
And them doing a documentary kind of against their will. And again, you can do that. It's just, is that accurately portraying what you're trying to portray here, which is violence and how it affects the real world?
And let's be honest, we all know what this documentary was going to be. It was going to be a bunch of validation of Jack Thompson's ideas. Nobody, the media never sides with Rockstar, ever, ever.
Yeah.
And so
it would have just been
a
side cameo by Daniel Radcliffe, not even a starring role.
There you go.
What a disappointment.
Any final thoughts there? Otherwise, we can get to the Xbox tuner real quick.
No, we're I good? Think that's good.
I mean, first of all, with this conversation, again, kind of like with GTA Online, let's not completely go with cutting the cord, because that could be a complete different podcast. But they are releasing a tuner, and you can basically watch TV on your Xbox.
Yeah, right? It's been in the talk for a while. It finally came out.
It's third party, correct?
You have to buy something to go with it.
There is a third party thing you can bundle on the Xbox Store.
Microsoft.
Right.
Okay.
So the actual antenna is not Microsoft's, but the I believe it's like a USB component, and then you screw the antenna into it.
Okay.
It's just like basically
a TV tuner you'd put in your computer. It gives you a cable outlet.
Exactly. It lets you pick up the local channels. You can pause up to 30 minutes of live television. I guess to not get fully into the conversation, but I mean these days with the focus on cutting the cord, you know, you have the HBO Now, Netflix, Hulu. Not a big fan of Hulu. Amazon and all that. It's just one more thing to, you know, you can have that basic access to television without needing that cable subscription. Just focus on internet, and it'll be interesting to see how it develops. Because when Xbox was being, the Xbox One was shown off for the first time at E3, you know, they talked about all the multimedia stuff, and this is kind of the first we're seeing of it.
And I think it's basically buying like a cable like some people buy with their TV, right? I mean, it's kind of like that. It's nothing groundbreaking in the sense that you're not getting DirecTV through it or something like that, right?
No, although there was one feature in particular that stood out to me. Now, I don't own an Xbox One, and I have no intention of getting one, but if I did have one, well, I also haven't owned a TV since I was 18, but if I had a TV and I had an Xbox One...
a lot of qualifiers.
I'm sorry, because I really don't see what the appeal of a TV tuner is that plugs into your Xbox. Do people really not have the multimedia component cable switches anymore?
There isn't much of an appeal. I mean, how many people do you know run an HD antenna for their cable?
Exactly. All the way back to the router,
What I was going to get to was there is one feature about it that I do think is cool. It can store you can pause for up to 30 minutes, and that is cool because that's a feature that you wouldn't have with just a standard, you know, $10 digital tuner.
No, that's something the cable companies don't want you to have. They want you to pay at least three times the price for something that's going to give you that option.
I think the thing they don't want us to realize, though, is that you already don't have to, you don't have to switch inputs necessarily to, I mean, you don't. Have you guys seen a TV tuner that uses component cables? It uses coax. So I don't even understand what space you're saving. I mean, is it literally so you don't have to push, you know, a TV video?
It's America.
It's the same feature that they already have. Like, they have the TV app where you run your HDMI from your cable into it and then your Xbox One into your receiver or your TV.
Well, and
all this is doing is letting you get that cable feed to do the same TV app.
And there are literal apps on the Microsoft Marketplace, I know for a fact, that are local TV apps that do the same thing, maybe with maybe a few different channels, or maybe it's not your local area literally, but, I mean... Do any of you guys have? You guys all have Xbox Ones, right?
I have a 360, but
okay. Do any of you have any intention?
Damn it, I'm behind. Trust me, I don't like it either.
Don't worry. You can be in my club.
Yeah,
He's gonna give you a PC.
Yep. God forbid.
I've got Steam open right now.
There you go. But I mean, do any of you have any intention of getting this?
No.
Because if you look at it and you know where the primary USB port is on your Xbox, you're adding it on the end of your Xbox. Most people have their Xbox is in a place that barely fits just their Xbox.
Yeah. Right. So, Kyle, are you not going to cut a hole in your armoire to shove an antenna through?
It's funny that you say that, because there is a hole in my armoire.
We did not need to know about your armoire hole there.
But I really don't see this as a game changer on any level. It's just to appease the few people that wanted it. It's easy for them to just push this out there and have people who use HD antennas in their digital boxes, not the HD ones, but you can still have a standard digital box through Comcast to get basic cable. That's what this is for.
I just don't understand why this wasn't just released onto store shelves. Why is Microsoft even bothering to
make an announcement?
Why didn't they just say, you know, Mad Cats, if you want to make a if you want to make a TV tuner, go for it.
Is this Microsoft or was this a third party that did this for them?
The antenna, I believe, and I do have it
the
up.
The antenna's
third
separate.
Party.
Microsoft doesn't do the antenna.
No, but no. It's Microsoft
bundled together at $100. The tuner's $60.
And it was announced on the Microsoft, the Xbox news site.
Okay,
you can buy it on Xbox, but that doesn't mean that Xbox necessarily made it.
I never said they did.
Didn't.
In fact,
they
I'm
didn't.
The one who said they didn't at the beginning.
So it's not really any investment on their end.
No, well, they're endorsing it.
It's made by...
It's just another piece of the puzzle, though. Like, they can get this feature, have someone else make it for them, and appease a few fans of theirs without really...
Right, what I'm saying is why even endorse it? I mean, why not just let...
There will be people that use this. Yeah. It's not a huge market, but it's basically...
Right. Well, there are people that use Mad Catz controllers, too, but you don't need Nintendo to come out and say these are a viable third-party option. Yeah.
I think part of it is so Xbox can push that, hey, you know, we have that multimedia thing, and stuff. Yeah. Exactly. But for the record,
rebelled against.
Made by Hapage Digital TV, HAUPPAUG.
Hapage.
Might have said that wrong.
It sounds right.
If Microsoft had their own, they wouldn't be endorsing it, but someone else did this for it. It'd be like if Microsoft didn't make their controllers, they could go, hey, buy Mad Catz through us. Mm-hmm. But Microsoft makes their own controller, so they want you to buy it from them. Someone else did this for them, so it's easy for them to go, hey, just buy this, and it gives extra functionality to our system.
Don't forget, you can stream it to your smartphone.
Yes. I just wanted to mention that as well. So, like, I haven't had a TV, and we don't have to go down the whole road of cord cutting, but...
Well,
I haven't,
that's a separate podcast.
Yeah, I haven't, for the record,
very adamant about this.
I haven't had a TV since I was 18 and haven't missed it, and... Between the digital distribution platforms like Hulu, Netflix, and HBO Now, you can watch, first of all, anything. And also, those are even more multi-platform, way more multi-platform. Oh, you can stream to a device? All my devices have all those apps. I have a laptop, a tablet, a computer, and also any other device in my house that can stream all of those things. Why would I want – I mean, it just seems unnecessarily limiting. I mean, for the cost of it, you can get – 2 months, including your free month on Netflix or Hulu.
Yeah, again, despite how it might seem to be a kind of an unnecessary preference choice for Microsoft to endorse, it is something that, you know, like Kyle said, someone out there, just like the
they must be taking a cut.
The $1,000 iPhone app that's like, I'm rich enough so I can just buy this app. It does literally nothing. Like, there's someone out there who wants it, and Microsoft tends to appeal to that.
Sure, it's the winterizing spray. Yes, they're just upselling on the
Like
Xbox.
I said, how many people do you know that have an HD antenna? Like, that's primarily what this is associated with.
Yep.
I don't know anyone, so it's not going to be a big market, but...
Don't you have to have an HD antenna now?
They're built into the new ones, aren't they? Or no, sorry.
Well, I'm just talking about HD antennas give you access to basic cable without needing a cable subscription.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know a lot of people that run that setup. Most people just have the straight cable setup, or they're completely cordless.
Right,
The only people I know with HD antenna setups are people that just have cabins in the middle of the woods where they're not getting cable out there, but they get basic cable.
Okay.
All right, with that.
Whoa, hold up. One last thing.
Yeah.
Mad Max, Fury Road, go see it.
Yes. My God, it's so good. I'm calling it now best action movie of the year.
It's good.
On that note, for Kyle Hansen, Max Hamilton, Henry Bell, Ben Humbert, I'm Tom Schreier. This has been 105 The Ticket's video game podcast from Cold Omaha. Thanks for listening.